I left the reminder on the desk. I thank everyone for coming. I hope, I hope 10,000 people will hear this shiur, because why you people, it's, we did some real mitzvah, if you understand. You remember Rav Volk, my brother.
Sure.
My brother told me, if I went into Rav David Lipschitz, he had Rav Volk for 2 years, and my brother was very happy. And anyone, you know, it hurts. Not everyone has mazel in life, and I don't have to elaborate. I can give many examples of idiots who became famous and great people who were lost, but kachi daka shokhayim. Okay, I can begin. It's 9:05. Today is, believe it or not, December 1st, 2019. Hard to believe. Next week, it's... when do we hit December 7th, Shabbos? It's the anniversary of Pearl Harbor, my first memory of life. My father in the living room with a big radio. Radios were half a story. And he's screaming to my mother in the kitchen on Sunday, "Jenny, we're at war, we're at war." And boy, I didn't, you know, as a kid, little did I realize how all our lives, all the world, all the... every Jew alive would be affected. Okay, so I want to go back to last week. Two things I mentioned in class. We're dealing here with the whole problem of the man is being mekabel Shabbos early. When does the woman light? Is the woman obligated by the man? In other words, it's your husband, but you're two different individuals. And the question all goes back to... our good friend Reb Menashe Klein, where they have their private minyan, and the woman is hesitant to walk in the middle and shall we say, make a fuss, create a lot of noise. People are davening, and it's a woman, and these are men. All right, then we saw Reb Menashe Klein paskin. Once again, I don't know whether I have an email, Rabbi Gurevitz. It's again, maybe it's the same email I saw last week, because there's a whole mix-up. And I should also announce that Sherry is back. The YU email is up. So we go back to cblevy@yu.edu. So I just want to mention the Magen Avraham that I quoted. Don't argue with me. We have to understand the Magen Avraham. You know, everyone is bothered that mitzvah you do, you light candles, you make a bracha either a minute before, a minute after. It's our minhag is afterwards, Shabbos, Yontif, we make the bracha before. You all know this. It's not, there are differences of opinion, because it's Shabbos Asiyaton, but if you light the candle, if you make the bracha, you makabel at Shabbos, how can you light the candles? Or no, you're making the bracha and it's an altar, you should be able to light the candles. But the whole question of the non-Jew lighting after the wedding, what we saw from the Rishonim, earlier sources, so it opens up a whole new understanding of Hadlakat Neirot, and that's what I said in class. Chepsin Gavra, that it's not so much an obligation that you light, according to this opinion, but the candles have to be lit. And your job is to see that it's done, and once it's done, you can make the bracha. And that was the Magen Avraham, that's one of the 8 sot that Reb Menashe Klein uses, and we'll come back to this in a few minutes. I mentioned in passing last week, I don't know how I got involved with it, but I mentioned in passing last week, about us. Because they're been talking about non-Jews lighting the candles, right or wrong, Effie, right? So we met, how is your father? Is he still here?
He just went back.
Went back. Is he feeling okay? Okay, good. So I mentioned in passing with the Shiloh with a sukkah that the schach, you have to be careful that you should put on at least part of it. So my Talmid, Rabbi Yeshua Grinstein, emailed me that Meikah Hadin, he quoted a Gemara that even Goyim can put a, as long as the sukkah is made L'shem Dira and L'shem Tzilatom Urchuba Mechamato Meikah Hadin. Anyway, you can check it all out. So we had quite a correspondence, and the emissaries were both right. He's talking Meikah Hadin Halacha L'maisa, all the many of the Achronim say that the schach has to be put on by Jews. If a guy put it on, at least part of it has to be redone. You see, the problem with a guy is it may very well be that since it's the schach that makes the mitzvah, in other words, you can have four walls of a sukkah standing and you don't have to build anything, but the schach is what you put on, and you put on l'shem mitzvah sukkah. So how can a guy do l'shem mitzvah sukkah? There's no such halacha by Neirot Shabbat. Neirot Shabbat, it's halacha, there has to be light. But here you need, so I just want to cite to you from one of the well-known Sfarim here, Likud by Rav Cohen, on Sukkos. I'm citing from page 104, the Kashbashela Hanachat Haschach Meikadin Utuliyisha Viafliyelet Ulialdakt Yelet Vilyaldakt Tanim Lesachet Asukal Nichan Leim Ulashkenazim Tov Lahachmir Sherav Adam Godol Meyal Gilshfosh Reishana Yesachet Asukal. And then Chavtet, in Sif Chavtet here, Meikradin Muta Afilu Lagoy, if not that the Sukkah the Kashet, the Afisach Chabeschach, Abo Legamov, Hekmiru Yoteh HaPoskim. And therefore, very more important, Halavai, the Jews should build the whole Sukkah, but certainly the Schach, and if Takra Goy Parach Schach, Vahainu Sheyosif Lo Schach, Lepachot, Lepachot Bishir, 8 al 8 centimeters. In other words, he has to, L'chala Pachot, it should be, it's a Tefach al Tefach, the Achronim say. Okay. Alright. So, we stand. My Talmud sent me, I believe, this from Rav Elyashiv. And, he didn't give me it says Piskei Halachot, Tshuvat Piskei Halachot, sometimes Rav Elyashiv. But he too says, that if the guy put on the schach, he yadbir v'yanana haschach mitefach al tefach o mashu al pnei kulo l'shem chag v'tof lamed yamim. All right, so we finally have total agreement between us, but all I can tell you is that's the way I was raised, that if the guy puts on the schach, you have to lift part of it off and reshake it and replace it, and all the achronim seem to come down that way. Now, one of the problems that my shirm engendered, and this is a very serious problem, and I want to take some time on it. What do you do in a hotel where they can't light in the room, you can only light downstairs, outside the dining room, and once someone lights, the electric light is on, what good are the candles doing? What good are the candles doing? The light is there anyway. And you can have 2 candles burning, 50 candles burning, 100 candles burning. Will it really make a difference? All right, this is a real problem. And I'll tell you what I pass in Lalocha, and I'll show you those who differ with me. And among them are your own Rebbeim, Gedolei Yisrael. But La Halacha, I always tell people in a hotel, turn on the lights in your room for the sake of Shabbat, and then go downstairs and light the 2 candles and make a bracha. Some of the Achronim are opposed to that bracha. Rav Mordechai Leo has a whole kuntris. He's not so happy about making a bracha. More important for me personally, Rav Hershel Schachter, a student, gave me a link where he also speaks about it, and he published the whole kuntris, and he too is inclined to say, Elliot, that you don't make a bracha, that the women should not make bracha in such a situation. I'll tell you what bothers me, Simchas Torah. I'm a simple Jew. You have to be a lamdan, have to be a gaon, have to be a tzaddik, have to be a reish shemayim. But when push comes to shove, im lo neviim heng, b'nei neviim heng. The Gemara in Pesachim daf samach vav. The Gemara in Shabbos in Brachot daf mem hei maf daf mem dalad amid bet mem hei maralef. It carries over. Fuk hazim may amad davar. Go and see what the Jewish people do. There's something very healthy about the Jewish people. That means the Jewish people who observe. I told you in 1953, I had a Rebbe, Rebbe Yosef Katz, who's a fabulous Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. So we were learning a Masha, and the Masha says, Makshin Olam. So I said to Rebbe, Rebbe, the Olam Ketzach gives a hoot about what a Makshin Olam. He says, the Olam versus Afkehid. The Olam cares. The Olam that's Jewish, that cares, that lives. It's not the Netanyahu and everyone else running around here, guns. But Makshin Olam, it means Mekas Harav, Panovich, Hezdi Yeshiva, Hebron, etc., Svatemet. So I'll tell you, it really bothers me because Hadlakat Neira is a woman's domain. The Yemis is nothing to do with women. Could be. L'fun Rihita, Mabat Rishon, first glance. What's that to do with women? It's Halacha and Shabbos. Right or wrong? But again, there's much written on it that the woman is the one in the house, she runs the house, it became her mitzvah. To take it away from the women, not to make a bracha, it's not the same. In other words, when you do a mitzvah and you don't make a bracha, it doesn't give you the same feeling. And I'm very hesitant to say you go to a hotel, women shouldn't make a bracha. Maybe the first woman who lights, Rebbe Leo says the first woman who lights. In the Shulchan Aruch, there's a source that discusses this, two families coming together. But all right, in modern times, it's very, very different. This is a kuntris that why you prepared, why you today, this is, I believe this was done for Shavuot. Yeah, it was done for Shavuot 5772, about 8 years ago, 7 years ago. And they rent a hotel. It's a bit of a fundraiser, obviously. They rent a hotel, and everyone comes to hear the Sheyurim. And they prepared Reshit Bikurim, a guide to Shavuot observance prepared for the Reed Shavuot Yachai Kala, and it has a note on the bottom that most of the Pesachim follow Reb Heschel Shechter Shlita, the Rosh Kolel, and he discusses candle lighting, and you see, he's very ambivalent what we should do in a hotel. On the tape that I had, he's even more forthright, you know, reaches the conclusion not to say a bracha. Also, he raises the issue of the Shechiyanu. Why do they make a Shechiyanu when they light candles? The Shechiyanu should be made in Kiddush. And he advises, we always make a Shechiyanu in Kiddush. Then again, women, this is part of their mitzvah. This is part of their gestalt. That's when they make the Shechiyanu. I don't know. I wouldn't interfere with it. And I go right down the line. This is not something, Simchas Torah, I can give 100 shurim in the world and give you endless sources and show you that everything we do on Simchas Torah is an Isa de Rabbanan, an Isa de Oraita, Brachot Labatala, v'chulu, v'chulu, v'chulu. But Klal Yisrael does it, we have to do it. And right down the line, I can tell you in my shul, Dr. Dershowitz, Professor Sam Dershowitz. So he lived in Boston many years. And he davened with the Rav. He's very friendly with the Rav. I don't have to tell you, if your name is Dershowitz, you're not a dummy. You have a good mind. So the Rav, when he said Hallel, used to make the bracha with the Chazan. Right with the Chazan. And why did he do it? Because he felt if you hear the bracha, you're Yotzei. And you say Amen, you're Yotzei. And Sam is davening, I've been davening with him at Minyan for endless decades. And whenever it's Reish Chodesh, the Chazan makes the bracha, you can hear Sam loud and clear making the bracha. I can't do it. Logically, it may be right, it makes sense, halachically. But Klal Yisrael, everyone answers Amen. It's that you know in advance you're not going to be Yotzei on that bracha. Be Te'avon, it looks good. You're not going to be Yotzei on that bracha. So I can give you many other examples. At the Seder, Leil HaSeder, I take three matzot like everyone else. I can't break. The Rav is 100% right. Taking three matzot and Pesach makes as much sense as jumping a hoop with Meir Tzitang singing Sena Arena. You understand? Halachically, if there's a din in Lechem Oni, it has to be from the Lechem Mishnah. And so why are you taking three? But I was already taught, I don't know, in first, second grade, I was already in Solanta, one for Cohen, one for Levi, one for Yisrael. Everyone takes three matzah. I can't bring myself, and now I don't even conduct the Seder, it's my son-in-law, but all the years when everyone came to us, now we're older, we go to them. So, I can't bring myself to take three matzah. Two matzah, I can't remember to take two matzah. Three matzah, like everyone else. Alright, but Rav Shechter is a great Anadim Gadol, and if he paskins, I understand it. Rav Eliyahu also as well, and I understand it very well. Now, there's something I said in class last week, which I didn't want to be misunderstood, because my comrade Rabbi Grinstein questioned me. I mentioned that Hadlakat Neirah is a minhag. Do you know what I meant by that? I meant that we light two candles, or we light for every child we have. The whole little discussion we had about lighting for children, and I mentioned how my own students enlightened me. I don't want to go into it again now, but we mentioned it last week. That's what I meant as a minhag. But it's very interesting. The question of what Hadlakat Neirah is, it's a very interesting question. And you have here a Rambam. I don't know if there's any other Rambam in all of Mishneh Torah that resembles this Rambam. It's Hilchat Shabbat, Perek Hamishi, Halacha Aleph. Hadlakat Neir b'Shabbat Eina Rishut. Imratza Matlik v'imratza Eina Matlik. It's not Rishut. It's not something you have a choice. He quotes it's based upon the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Chaf Hei, Hadlakat Ne'er Shabbat Chova. On the other hand, he says, the low mitzvah, but it's not exactly a mitzvah, Sheinu Chayav Lidof Acharecha, Achi Yasener, Kagone Ruvei Chatzera, Tunatil Yitayim Lachila, Ela Chova. And he goes on, what a long description. The Echad Anashim, the Echad Anashim, Chayavim Liyot, Beveitehen, Nedaluk B'Shabbat. And it's very important, the Shabbos candles. Why? What is the Rambam saying here? It's not Rishut, and yet not a mitzvah. And I'll only give you my take on the Rambam, but you can do research. Maybe one of you have a daughter who is getting bat mitzvah. So Rafi, let your daughter present the paper on Hadlakat Neirah. This question, what does the Rambam mean? My take on the Rambam is, there's no question, it's a din derabbanan. It's a chovah, a din derabbanan. It's not a din d'oraita, but it's different than many other dinim derabbanan, because when you're mekayim it, there very well may be more than a kiyum derabbanan. A kiyum midifrei sofrim is a word that some of the Rambam uses, the Rishonim use, explaining him. A kiyum midifrei kabbalah perhaps is the proper word. Why? What does the Navi say? V'karata l'shabbat oneg. So that this is part of the oneg of Shabbat. And I want to refer you to an article that just came out this weekend in one of the freebies. And this is a very interesting freebie. Yehuda, you see what this is? Ta'ir Einai. Harav Nir Ben Artsi. Nu, does anyone know what's going on? You guys that have citizenship here, you're part of the clan. This fellow was a farmer. And it's like Eliyahu and Elisha. And a number of years ago, he suddenly became a great Talmid Chacham, a Marbitz Torah, a tremendous speaker, and the Talmud of Reb Mordechai Eliyahu. And I love this. I'll tell you why I love it. I had a Mechutin Eliyot. He's no longer alive. Izzy Ackerman. He's the father of my eldest son-in-law. My eldest son-in-law was at the talk. If you saw him, the tall fellow who came. You know what happened? He came here first. He figured if I'm giving a book launch, it has to be in NYU. he came here, and I felt so bad. Izzy used to buy every day the Palestinian Post. Not the Jerusalem Post. The Palestinian Post, I think it's called. Used to buy it every day. In English. Published in Ramallah, I think. I say, Izzy, why do you buy this? He says, it's fabulous for my health. You read the Israeli newspapers, the country is falling apart. Scandal here, scandal there. The army, all the tanks are rotting away in storage. Everything is wrong. You read the Palestinian Post, it is fabulous. Israel will kill every Arab man, woman, and child. Israel will destroy every enemy. Israel is about to wipe Iran off the map. It is fabulous. Ta'ir Einai, on the second page, every week, it's his, there's his picture, his predictions, what will be with the world. And boy, Yarden, Russia, Syria, Turkey, Iran, oh my gosh, when you read his predictions, you sleep like a baby. Nothing to worry about. Now, then, on this page already, he has serious matter. He always has every week a kitzur of the psakim of Rav Mordechai Eliyahu. And here, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu also deals with the hotel situation, but he goes into reasons. Chavid the onik Shabbat, shalom bayit, and then I'll be sold why the house should be lit. So, all right, I would say over the years what ultimately happened with Hadlakat Neirot, the women took it over entirely. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, with his great insight, when the women are clamoring feminism, they want to conquer the world, they want to learn Gemara, they want to go to Lindenbaum's. So when the Lubavitcher Rebbe took over, he gave a terrific push in the right direction. Let calling the bat matlikan Neirot Shabbat. But Neirot Shabbat more or less became associated with the dining room, with the kitchen, with the food. Al pi Kabbalah, there's a lot to be said for it. They say the Chassidic Rebbeim, when they made Kiddush, would look at the candles. Would look at the candles. Two candles, they found the remez, Zachar v'Shamar, etc. Okay. Now, I got an email from my dear Talmud who was in class when he visited a few weeks ago, Rabbi Dr. Lieutenant Colonel Mark Wiener. Let me not cut out any of his titles, particularly you know him from Chicago. So Mark says that if one of the reasons the Shalom Bayis, so you shouldn't stumble in the dark, then perhaps lighting in a bedroom would not really be a bracha levatala. Perhaps use the Shabbos lamps so they can function in a dark bedroom. All right, there's something to be said when you're in a hotel and you light the way you're lighting in a bedroom. But Minig Yisrael is to light two candles outside the kitchen, in the dining room, etc. Mark says, perhaps the Rav did not like lighting in an area in a hotel that was used only for candle lighting. Perhaps they can light in the dining room, another area. This is not possible. In other words, in a hotel, they set aside a place for candle lighting. They're not going to let you light at your individual table. At the individual table, you can make a case, maybe give slightly more light to the table. I don't know. But that's not a solution. I think my solution is the best. Lighten the room, have Kavanah L'Shem Mitzvot Shabbos, L'Shem Onik Shabbos, go downstairs and finish. Being able to light before the plant, this is something else we spoke about, could solve a unique dilemma some weeks in some federal prisons. Remember Mark, after he finished the army, he was a chaplain in the priest, still a chaplain in the prisons, I believe. In some federal prisons where the inmates must return to their units for a 4 p.m. count. And they don't want to go out again. So it could be if you let them light before the plug, you have solved that problem. All right, that would be a b'di'evid. And here Mark comes up with an interesting idea. Having a guy light for a Jew should solve the dilemma of Yontif Sheini in a place where it be prohibited to leave a flame light undetended overnight. And what Mark is talking about is Yontif Sheini, and in Israel we don't have it that often because we don't have Yontif Sheini, but imagine two nights Rosh Hashanah or Shabbos Yontif, Shabbos, Shabbos Yontif. So you light the first night, and oyvei, the next night, how do I light? You have to remember to buy a 72-hour candle in advance. Generally speaking, a yahrzeit candle lasts. I just had yahrzeit for my father-in-law, so the yahrzeit candle lasted 26 hours. But when you need it to last, it goes off 24 hours. Apsalachis. So Mark gets involved with the guy. He's following the Magen Avram. All right, that's a b'di'evit, b'di'evit, b'di'evit. If you have a guy, let him light, and you take a light from a light and light the candles. But l'chatchila, I don't think we would be happy about it. All right, now I want to continue with Reb Moshe and Labriyut, Labriyut. And I'm going to show you something very fascinating. And it continues the theme that I've been stressing, hoping that many will listen to me. Don't run away. I have a gift to give you that's one of a kind. And then pass it on to Efrat. And no one knows where this great Gemilat Chesed is coming from.
Thank you.
Do you see what this is? This is a biography of the kid, of Ted Williams. Halavai, a gadol b'Yisrael, would have a biography done so well, researched so well, footnoted so well, like the kid. The biography, well, let me tell you.
Was it sugar-coated?
No. Very honest, very honest.
Billy Martin biography?
No, this is very, very, very honest. It's grade A. But the problem is you're dealing with, as a ball player and as someone chesed to children, there was no one like him in the world. As a husband, a ladies chaser, and a father, there was no one who failed as greatly as he did.
But he could hit.
He could hit. We don't take that away. 344, 521 home runs from his choicest years. No, Ellie, how many times would see flying planes so you could, your parents could survive in America? Grandparents could survive. World War II, Korean War, you know what I'm talking about, Effie? And wow, but what a maneuver outside of hitting and children. Unbelievable. And there's a tremendous lesson here. Who's going into the rabbinate? Rafi, you're going into the rabbinate? Tremendous lesson. You know why Williams was the way he was? Tell me what his mother did. His mother worked full-time plus for the Salvation Army. Didn't have a minute for her kids, her children, her husband. All she was involved with standing on street corners and converting people to a proper Christian life. Let me tell you something. The greatest challenge for a Rav, a Machaneich, a Rosh Yeshiva, not to forget your family. Ibn Shalom. Do you know how many giants of Torah, what their kids did to them afterwards? Let me just clue you in. Shabbos, I said Kaddish. Why did I say Kaddish, Dov? Dov, you have the same name. Shabbos was the yahrzeit of Dov Revel, Bet Kislev, Rabbi Revel, Rabbi Aaron Cutler, Rabbi Moshe Aaron Paleyev, all have the same yahrzeit. One of Dov Revel's had two sons. One of them, in a moment when he was struggling and he needed professional help, he shouted out, "My father had time for everyone's son except his own." Got it? And here you see the results right in front of you. All right, Arian, what do you know about baseball? What do you know about the Ted Boston? Oh, my goodness. Okay.
406. 406 on the last couple games, he raised his batting average.
Don't put him down. They wanted him to sit out. He would have had 400. Would have had 400. And he went that day something like 6-for-8. It was a doubleheader. Unbelievable. Okay, back here, gentlemen, and lady, the Rebbe can't, you can take the young man out of the Bronx, but you can't take the Bronx out of the young man back here. So Reb Moshe, we cited Reb Moshe last week, Orach Chaim, it's a later volume, it's when he does Orach Chaim Chelek Shlishi, 1973, Tshuva Samach Lamed. And here's the question that it's halacha l'maisa, all of us have it during the summer. And Reb Moshe was asked, the man is mekabel Shabbos early, does it obligate his wife? And Reb Moshe takes the point of view that they're two separate people, they're two different people. He makes an analogy to making a neder. If Eli makes a neder that he's not going to eat salmon because he heard that sometimes there's some, what happened here with the tuna fish in the restaurant, it can go bad, it can create, it poison you. All right, that obligates him. It does not obligate his wife. She's a different person. He made a neder, he made a promise, he made a commitment, he has a minik tov. Zelichud v'zot lichud. But wait a minute. What about if there's a kehila? And this takes us back to what I spoke about a number of weeks ago. We're part of a bigger unit. Jews function on two levels, at least Jews who know what Judaism is about. One level is the individual, like every Christian in the world and every Muslim in the world. One level is the individual level. But the higher level, Am Yisrael, Adat Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael, Kahal Yisrael, Kol Yisrael, Kol Echad, Kol Yehudi, Arev Mzelezeh. We're responsible one for the other. So, here Reb Moshe gets involved. What about if they belong to a community? They belong to a kahal. And the kahal they belong to is Makabel Shabbos early. And this is the shul they daven at all the time. Well, if the kahal that you belong to is Makabel Shabbos, it obligates everyone. The man and the woman. There are no exceptions. We are all part of the same kehila. All right? I showed you the Mishnah Berurah a number of weeks ago. Where would this apply? When there's one kehila. What do you say about Woodmere? How many kehilot are there? But more than that, let's take Woodmere as an example. Young Israel of Woodmore, how many Kabbalat Shabbat are there? One shul. Four, five different minyanim. Early, plag minyan. In America, there are two different concepts. Here, every early minyan, or most early minyanim, are plag minyanim. In America, you have minyanim 7 o'clock. Doesn't matter when the plag is. Or, some of the people became talmidei chachamim, and they make a plag minyan. Then you have the late minyan. Then you can have two minyanim. You have a late minyan Kalbach style, and a late minyan the normal davening with a sprinkling of Kalbach. You follow me, Elliot? Who is Mecha? So here, Reb Moshe says so beautifully, this would be true if there's one kehila. But what if the woman davens in a different shul? Or doesn't go to any shul whatsoever. And this is a real life description. My wife and I haven't davened in the same shul for over 50 years. Kol Zman, I was in the rabbinate, Steve. She had no choice. I was the rabbi. She was the Rebbitzin, Maplewood, New Jersey. We had no other shul anyway. But coming Aliyah, I found my place in Ol Rivka. Ol Rivka, have you ever been to the shul? It's the fourth largest shul in Jerusalem. It was built, the ground stone with the stone was laid in 1932. Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Cook attended the ground stone laying. A woman named Rivka Strauss put up the money to build the shul. Beautiful shul, only one problem. If you're a woman, Ribbono Shel Olam, you better not be too tall or too sick. You have to climb up to the woman's balcony. If you stand up, you can hit your head on the ceiling. It is about as friendly to women as a Chinese parlor where they gamble away and don't allow women in unless they sneak in dressed like men to gamble on in Las Vegas. What were you saying?
It's not much more friendly to men.
No, men we can get, we have seats. I mean, no one talks to you. That's a different story. The shul is for davening, not for talking. I davened there so many years. There was right in front of me Professor Blau. He was very friendly with Professor Steiner. They were both in Semitics. So one time, Richie Steiner is davening there, and he's laughing. I say to Richie afterwards, what are you laughing about? He said, Professor Blau asked me if you're married. So he said to Professor Blau, why do you ask if he's married? He never comes to shul with his children, his sons. So Richie informed him, I have no sons, I only have daughters. Oh, and then he got all, I'm married, I'm normal, Baruch Hashem. But my wife would go to Chovaveh, today she goes to Yakar, Baruch Hashem. No, if the husband davens in one shul, and the wife davens in another, does it obligate her? And here, Rav Moshe, you understand, he reaches the conclusion that if there are various shuls, each one can go their way. Nothing obligates them. The community doesn't obligate them. There are 5 different communities, 10 different communities. Rav Moshe refers you to his tshuva. I mentioned it to you that it's a beautiful tshuva. We spoke about it in class many years ago. I write about it in Rakafat Aron, either Chelik Aleph, Chelik Bet. Well, what do you do? A woman, an Ungarische Frau, marries after World War II a Polisha. No, have you ever been married to a Hungarian woman who still follows the minhagim of Munkach and Satma and what was in Hungary, in that part of Hungary at least? They shave their heads. They put on a tichel. Ribbono shel Olam, this guy doesn't want a woman with a shaved head. The Polish women, oh boy, they bought shaitels, up to date, beautiful, put it on over a head of hair. And he's arguing with his wife, and she says, no, this is my minhag. How can I change? My mother went this way, my grandfather went this way, my mother went this way, my grandmother went this way, my grandfather gave in to my grandmother. That's what I wanted to say. And Rav Moshe says, absolutely has to follow the husband. Has to be one minhag in the house. That's what we spoke about. Legumes, Pesach, all that goes with it. All right. So Rav Moshe here is more lenient. That if there's only one kehila and one shul, and the husband is makabel Shabbos that obligates its wife, in every city, in every home, there has to be a minhag, and the man is koveya the minhag. If there's more than one shul, they're 2 separate individuals, and he has a right to be Makabel Shabbos early, and she has a right to be Makabel Shabbos a little later. She's working on the Chalent, the Kugel, the Lakshin. Takes a little bit more time. Yes, 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 Ellie.
When it comes to the head shaving case, why does that have to affect, it obviously affects the husband, but why does it have to affect the husband? Well, it's a woman's observance.
No. The husband has a right that his wife should be pretty for kalana kaliyav chasuda. Kalana means what we say. It's not what the woman says. The woman will claim sheka chen vehevel ayofi duvet shligin in dred. Do you understand what I'm saying? But explain to him though after class. But if sheka chen vehevel ayofi, yours truly gives pshat. Yeah, when a woman is beautiful, she can afford to say shekachem ha'isha yirat Hashem itabah. But when she doesn't have shechein and yofi, she better keep her mouth shut. You understand? So it's very important. A woman has an obligation. Al pi alaka, you tell me, when a woman is sitting shiva and she's a newlywed, can she put on makeup, etc.? They're kulot all over the place. Why? She's shalot etaneh b'nei bala. Unfortunately, what keeps the world going, look into the Medrashim on the Pru Revu and the Kalashah Sah, Hine Tov Miod, Ma'od, the Yetzirah of sex. And the Medrash says, HaKol Acharei HaIsha, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Yuma, that they got rid of the Yetzer Hara for sex, and chickens stopped laying eggs. So that cancels what you had to say. But what's more important for you is that Thursday night, I had a big, big thrill. Present in the audience was Michael Fulz Chavruta back in 1969. So I met here Rabbi Chanan Lifshitz. So I mentioned to him that I have the schut that his Michael's great nephew was in my class. He was very, very happy. All right, this is Reb Moshe. But then Reb Moshe says something. What establishes a community? And here I'm going to say something very interesting with the Rav as well. What establishes Kabbalat Shabbat early? When you mekabel Shabbat early, l'shem Shemayim, that's really a Kabbalat Shabbat. Now, what does that mean? You're mekabel Shabbat early. What time? Tosfat Shabbat. If Tosfat Shabbat is a din d'oraita or a din d'rabbanan, right, it's a machlokes rishonim already. But the more you add to Shabbos, the more beautiful it is. The more it shows your commitment. Here you have Lo Aleinu, buses running on Shabbos, people being mechallel Shabbos for Rosh Keli, public thoroughfare. And here you have a Jew who says, I love Shabbos so much, I want to accept it an hour earlier than everyone else. All right, that creates a community. That creates Makom Shenahagu. Makom Shenahagu. The Gemara in Pesachim, the whole Sugya in Pesachim, if you know what I'm talking about, can you travel from Tzur to Tzidon on Erev Shabbos? People were very worried Friday morning about the sanctity to Shabbos. Will I get there in time? In New York today, are you allowed to drive out of Brooklyn to go up to the Catskills at 10 o'clock Friday morning? And Vic, if you ask me, the answer is absolutely no. The traffic is unbelievable, and it's all over the world today. What you have in Israel, what you have in America, what you have in Moscow, it's beyond words. Ultimately, they have to outlaw cars because there's no way for civilization to survive. When we came in Aliyah, no one had a car. Two Olim Chadashim in our building, three, we had cars. Today, I'm the only one in my building who doesn't have two cars. No, how can civilization survive? These streets, because London, New York, Jerusalem, they were built 100 years ago, 200 years ago. No one dreamt we would reach the stage we did today with cars. So it's a very interesting question, but it shows Jews care about Shabbos even Friday morning. It shows devotion, commitment. Some people had the minute. Some people, you know, listen, it's bad enough I have to keep Shabbos. It knocks out 25 hours of the week. But don't fence me in that already on Friday morning I can't go up to the Catskills. All right, I have a business. The business is thriving. I can't leave it for 2 days. It's bad enough I leave early Friday and the guy closes up for me at 1 o'clock, etc., etc. So here Rav Moshe says that's when the man obligates his wife. However, I'm quoting Rav Moshe, V'yim eino lekavonet kedushat Shabbat, Ela mishun she'ein rotzim lishanot zman achilah mehergalam b'mechol. Wow. Says, some people, mekabel Shabbos, nothing to do with frumkeit, nothing to do with dedication, nothing to do that they spent the year in Israel and developed a whole new sense of what Torah is about. No. People don't want to eat so late. Generally speaking, you eat what we call supper or dinner 6 o'clock at night. Who wants to eat 9 o'clock at night? And by the way, the older you get, this is absolutely true. I was Yomo didn't know this. Friday night, I did not eat any meat. It's late already. I had meat. I would have eaten fish if there were fish. Am I Yotzei Sudat Shabbat? Absolutely. Bus of the Yayin is if you like it. Ribbono shel Olam. To get drunk on Friday night is not my cup of tea. My grandson came over yesterday, made kiddush. He had one shot of brandy, another shot of brandy. The brandy you got me for my birthday. That brandy, I'm still haven't finished that, so it shows you how. Oh, he loved it. The Kanaim Hara. So the Makabel Shabbos early. Oh, Reb Moshe says that is not an early davening that obligates your wife. And he brings a raya, he says, boy, he's right on, he knows what's going on. And he says, we see in our country and what's going on in America, one of them makabel Shabbos, rak bimei hakayet shayamim aruchim, velo bimot hachored shayamim kitzerim. Wow. Right or wrong? By the way, the Sfadim, you gotta give them credit. They're Sfadik Minyanim that are Makabel Shabbos right at the plug all year, winter and summer. That's Mamish L'Shem Shemayim. But we, Friday night, knew Herbie, when's the last time you davened early in the Shtiblach? I met you already when I was still davening early, you say it's too early for me. Right or wrong? Convenience. Want to eat early. When it gets early, no need to daven at the plug. Reb Moshe says, if that's the case, it's not l'shem mitzvah, it's not like a minhag tov, it's for your convenience. And if so, the man davens early, the woman didn't, she can light candles the normal time, when she is ready. And that's the way Reb Moshe paskins l'halacha. Now, I'll tell you something very interesting here. I don't know if this is available in writing, and check it out if Rav Heschel mentions this in one of his Sfarim on Minhagei HaRav. But I heard from the Rav with these ears, he was not happy with Jews who pick and choose. What does it mean? Comes Friday night, all right. Let me come back to Herbie and myself. In our area, Katamon, the end of Rechavia, Kirt Shmuel, there are endless minyanim. Friday night, I can pick and choose. All right, this night I'll be Makabel Shabbos early. Go to the Shtiblach. Friday night later, we have tourists coming over. They're going to come late. Daven late. And it goes on and on, like a game of chess, a game of checkers. 1 week black, 1 week white. The Rav felt that was not proper. The Rav felt that if you mukabish Shabbos early, which is a bidyevet, it's not lachatchilah, lachatchilah, sunset is sunset. But all right, we go with the Rishonim, we go back to the Gemara, the Homachlekes. It could be after the plug, it's considered shkia, it's considered nighttime. Or at least the start of nighttime. If you do it early, you have to be consistent. The Rav was mocked, but you have to do it all summer. It's not something, I don't know if you knew this, Tshuva Reb Moshe, but you can tie these words, this thought, exactly into Reb Moshe's Skadi. You follow? What is Reb Moshe saying? That is not a Kabbalah Shabbat L'shem mitzvah. That's a Kabbalat Shabbat L'shem convenience. It doesn't obligate the woman. According to the Rav, be consistent. And I have to say, I certainly in Israel, from 1974 on, when they introduced daylight savings time, I have always been Makabal Shabbat early. I had problems. At times you were invited out with my daughter, my children, and they're davening later. And I would daven early and learn until the time they would be ready to make Kiddush. Why? Because of the Rav. And I understand the Rav very well. And it ties very nicely in with Reb Moshe.
What about the opposite issue?
Meaning?
If you normally daven late and you're invited out, people who daven early?
Bidyevid, I would say it's mutter to daven early, but the Rav wouldn't be happy because you don't embarrass people, you can't keep them waiting. I've had instances where I'm invited out And my youngest daughter just told us off, said, don't accept invitations for Friday night. Just stay put. But I've had instances where you're invited out, and tourists are always piki atan ra'a. If you remember the Gemara with Shvarim, Abadim, etc., tourists have no concept of time. And I've been invited out where the tourists forgot that you're eating early. And we're sitting there and sitting there and sitting there and sitting there and starving and hungry, and the clock is ticking away. I can tell you stories you can, with tourists, all right. So you want to spit in their face. They're nice people. That's the difference between Herbie and myself. The years he should have been learning Musar, he was hiding in a haystack keeping away from Hitler. God have mercy. So I can't argue with him, but that's Herbie, and that's why he was a successful businessman, and that's why money talks and rakefet walks. You got it, Herbie? Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. All right, let me go one step further, Ellie. You know how long we know each other? We first met 1962 when I came to Essex County. You understand? He was in Elizabeth, Newark, Elizabeth afterwards, and I was in Maplewood, South Orange, which tipped on to Newark, etc. That was my daughter started school in Elizabeth. You follow? In Rabbi Teitz's place. Okay, I just want to end off and show you the Mishnah Brura and one comment with the Mishnah Brura. Hilchat Shabbat Siman Reich Samach Gimel and Sivkatan Yud Aleph, and this is in the Shulchan Aruch, and it deals with davening early in Rov HaKahal. Now on Yud Bet, in Rov HaKahal Kiblu Aleim Shabbat Hamiyut Nimshachim Achareihem Al Kacham. And this, once again, Isaac, is the concept of a community. You are not an individual. Even if you have 10 friends who wouldn't makabel Shabbos, but the absolute majority was, it obligates you. However, look into the Mishnah Brura. This is very interesting. If the majority of the Kahal davened, and this is the whole question that we alluded to last week, who needs big shuls today? Today, what you need is satellites around the shul. Who can walk so far, Shabbos? That's what destroyed the conservative movement. They were matter driving to shul. We can't be matter driving to shul. Who needs big shuls? The best concept for a shul is to have one shul slightly big and 10 little satellite shuls within a mile on each side of the biggest shul. Alright, that's Chilchata the Meshichata. But what we do have, and I've seen this in every last community, Woodmere, I've seen it in Los Angeles, you have minyanim in the house, particularly Kabbalat Shabbat and Matzai Shabbat. I don't have to go any further than Rehov Rav Chaim Berlin 18. You can imagine who lives in that building, and it's about 30 plus years. Every Motzai Shabbos Yom, that the only time we don't have a minyan is Motzai Yom Kippur. Outside of that, we daven in the parking lot. We have from the building a minyan, but people come from the 3-4 blocks around. We can have 50 people davening in the parking lot. So you see, we're also part of this scheme. Now, what about if these individual minyanim are mokabel Shabbos early, and the main shul is not? But if you add up the statistics, in the main shul, 100 people daven Friday night at sunset. But if you add up all the satellite minyanim, it comes to 350 people who davened at the plag. Who do you have to follow? So the Mishnah Paskins, individual homes do not constitute a kehila. No. That. Individual homes? No. They're individuals. It doesn't make a kehila. It doesn't obligate you. It's what's going on in the main shul. And even the Mishnah Brura says, I'm quoting him, that im osem minyan beveito, afilu minyan kavua, Even if it is a permanent minion, you can say, look, that big shul, Young Israel of Woodmere, all right, but I have a permanent minion in my house every Friday night, 12, 13 people. We are permanent. Still, it does not make a kehillah, and it does not obligate all the other people in the community. Adkan Hadlakat Haneirat. It's a very fascinating topic, and when you talk about a bat mitzvah, again, Reb Moshe wrote a tshuva, Reb Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg wrote a tshuva, any of us in the rabbinate in the 60s, 70s had to deal with it. I was in the rabbinate the entire 60s, 61 to 69, and we all had to deal with it. So what I came up with was, this girl is being bat mitzvah, she studies in my Talmud Torah. I assigned a topic to her to research. And at the Kiddush on Shabbat, she would speak at the Kiddush on that topic. And it solved all problems. That way, she felt important, gave her a chance to speak in public. She's not saying the Haftorah, she's presenting a 200-word paper on Hatlakot Neirot, on some aspect of Shabbat and Kashrut. And this topic of Hatlakot Neirot lends itself to a lot more research, because everywhere you turn, see, it's something that the minhag conquered the world. Right, there's halacha, Shabbos, the house has to be lit. Oneg Shabbos, kibud v'oneg. But the minhag, two candles, where you light, everything that goes with it, the minhag of family, children, each one, hotels, travel, and above all, the terrific innovation of Tzomet. And I was wrong about Tzomet. It's not a switch. I think I told you. It's not a switch that turns off automatically. You have to put a battery in. And it's on as long as the battery works. And they advise you to buy cheap batteries. You can get today, even in Israel, Ein Hara, endless Chinese imports. You can get the 10, 20 AA batteries with base 20 shekel, 25 cents a battery. You put it in, and it burns 4 or 5 hours. You can't do better than that. And it solves. That's a beautiful innovation. And that's technology in the service of Torah. Let us go further. We won't finish today, but we're touching upon a topic that's very, very fascinating. I don't deny that our work for the Mossad was among the most important things we did in our life. I don't know which is more important, getting this campus, work for the Mossad, the Israeli army, how one dummy from the Bronx changed all rules in the army regarding missing in action, to share them unto itself. But there's no question, communist Russia. Yomo can't even comprehend what we're talking about. He already grew up after the fall of communism. But take a trip to North Korea, you'll get a feeling of what we're talking about. Or communist China, I showed you the article, had tens of thousands of Muslims. At least they don't kill them. They just, ruin their lives, lock them up, and re-indoctrinate them as much as they can. I don't know how you conclude at the end that they're re-indoctrinated. I guess they pass exams, but they hope they're not lying. But what do you do in Russia? Kiddush, Havdalah. Who heard of kosher wine? And the last thing in the world you want to travel into Russia is with the wine in your hand luggage. You have enough problems coming in when they take you apart. What do you do for Avdala? I mean, these are real problems. Transfer back to the Hitler period. I'm talking before the concentration camps. Shortage of everything. What do you do for Avdala? All right. Let me begin, and I want to use as a text to bring us into this, the Erech HaShulchan. What's very nice about the Erech HaShulchan is those of you that have studied the Mishnah Berurah, the Aruch HaShulchan, there's a marked difference between them. A book just came out from manuscript, Rabbi Henkin, Zeichet Tzadik Lebracha, Hashem Yikom Damo, Rabbi the Henkin who was killed, Lo Aleinu, with his wife, breaks the heart. The children of Yehuda and his wife, the famous founder of Nishmat, great people. So he, in his book that they put out posthumously from manuscript, he deals with the whole question, who is the greater posek, who should we follow? I don't know if you're aware that his grandfather, Rabbi Yosef Eliyahu Henkin, felt that the Aruch HaShulchan was a bigger posek than the Mishnah Berurah. I don't know. I can only tell you that the Rav, he didn't have the attitude that we have, that the Mishnah Berurah is the posek achron. And you could see quite clearly when he grew up in Brisk, with the Brisk influence, the Mishnah Berurah did not carry that much authority. I wonder how much the Rav held from the Aruch HaShulchan when you would have a machlekes. As far as I know, I never heard him discuss it. But the Aruch HaShulchan was shtikl mishpacha, was family as well. So let me quote the Rambam, begin with the Rambam. Hilchat Shabbos, Perik Chavtet, Halacha Aleph. Mitzvat Aseimin HaTorah L'Kadeshet Yom HaShabbat B'Davarim Shenema Tzecha Et Yom HaShabbat L'Kadesho. Koloma Zichrua Zechirat Shabbat V'Kiddush. V'tzarik l'zichroho b'kniso u'b'yitziato b'knisato b'kiddush hayom u'b'yitziato b'havdalah. Alright, this Rambam is very important. I cannot tell you how many words have been written trying to define the Rambam and what he means and what happens later in the Perek. The Rambam is very clear. There's a mitzvah d'oraita, mitzvah taseh, to remember Shabbat. Mitzvah taseh shehazman grama. Obligated to do something, say something, quote something that tells us it's Shabbat. Tell me, mitzvah taseh shehazman grama. Are women obligated? No. Shabbat is different. Why? The open Gemara, Shema v'zachar. A woman is obligated. She cannot be mechalelet Shabbat. Once you're obligated in the Shamar, you're obligated in the Zachar. So when it comes to Shabbat, the general klal of mitzvah taseh shezman grama do not apply. A man and woman have absolutely the same obligation. And how do we fulfill this? So then we come to a second level, what the Rambam calls Divrei Sofrim, which again is a rabbinic law, but it may also be a rabbinic law that helps us be mekayim a Torah law. And that is a formalization of Kiddush, a formalization of Haftalah, and to be done over a kos yayin, a kos shel bracha. So it may very well be that Kiddush and Haftalah is a din d'oraita dealing with Tzarchat Yom HaShabbat L'Kadesho, but that we do the Kiddush and Haftalah on a kos shel bracha, that is not required by the Torah, that is required by the Sofrim, by the Rabbanim, by Chazal. Alright, that would seem to be the basic pshat. The Rishonim who argue with the Rambam, the Rishonim who consider Kiddush and Havdalah a din de Rabbanan at all times, but I would believe the Rambam carries the day. Okay. Fine. Tell me. We daven Friday night. We daven Friday night. Min haTorah yatzanu yudei chova b'tfila b'vrochat ritzei b'menuchatenu sherbachenu mekadesh haShabbat. The minute we daven Friday night, me'ikah the din, we are yotzei kiddush Shabbat. All that we talk about, kiddushat hayom, Elokei v'Elokei avoteinu, ritzei b'mnuchatenu, kadshenu b'mitzvotecha, baruch atah Hashem mikadesh haShabbat. We are yotzei. All right. Afterwards, we make kiddush. It's totally on a rabbinic level already. You were yotzei. Vic, be davened. Kiddush on a rabbinical level. And I have to tell you, the Aruch HaShulchan was ahead of his time here. And this is what makes the Aruch HaShulchan so interesting. The Mishnah Berurah goes right into the halacha. There's very little introduction. But the Aruch HaShulchan goes from the Gemara to the Rishonim, who actually touch upon Achronim, and it's like a flow of thought before your eyes, how the halacha works, how the halacha is applied. And he was before his time here. He absolutely senses a problem that is real. And I come back to what I said a half hour ago, an hour ago. I can't paskin against Am Yisrael. We developed a certain image, I would say a certain mystique, a masculine image and a feminine mystique. And of course, women light candles. Men make kiddush. Thank God we're married. We have spouses. I'm not talking where someone is a spinster or someone is a bachelor or someone is widow. I'm talking lachatchila, not b'diavad. And when I come into a house, I'm a guest, I expect the man of the house to make kiddush. I find it offensive that the woman makes kiddush. I mean, and I don't have to tell you what's going on with the feminist thrust. Men becoming women, women becoming men. All right, I don't know. I have my problems, the men, the women, everyone works today. Kids are raised by strangers. I see kids, I remember in Beverly Hills, little kids, they speak Spanish perfectly. And the wealthier ones bring in the au pairs from Israel, at least if they're going to speak a different language, let it be Hebrew. Okay. I'm an old-fashioned guy, all right, but they tell me women have to work, that I see my granddaughters-in-law, all MDs, PhDs, lawyers, quite successful. But they haven't lost their feminine mystique, and I have to give credit to the Ulpanot here that they can raise these women to conquer the world and yet remain feminine. But now, do you sense the problem developing, Ellie? You come home from shul. You already davened. You yotzei kiddush on the Torah level. Your wife is busy with your wonderful son. She did not daven. She was not yotzei kiddush on a Torah level. Who has the bigger chiyuv to say kaddish? To say kiddush, excuse me. You or your wife? Your wife. Vic, you with me? The first one that I know of to raise this problem is the Aruch HaShulchan. He's right there. He's ahead of his time. He's 100 years ahead of his time. The first one to raise this problem. You follow me? You want to go with analysis? You want to go with depth, understanding? The man was Yotzei D'Oraita. His chiyuv that's left is no more than a rabbinic chiyuv. The woman, this is mitzvah taseh shazman grama, that obligates her. She has a chiv d'oraita. Let her make kiddush. And here, Aruch HaShulchan Reish Ayin Aleph, I'm quoting from Sif Katan Hey in the Aruch HaShulchan. Nashim chayavad bekiddush devat Torah. And afal pishi mitzvat asei shesman grama mishum yitkatei itkatakaish zachol shamar. And he quotes the Gemara in Bracha, Tavchafa mitbeet v'achani nishei choel v'yitchananu b'shmira d'shamokhu b'lot ha'sei v'alot ha'sei nashim mitzvot etnenad, they're obligated, gam b'shchira. V'kosav Rabbeinu ha'beit Yosef b'sif bet shemotziyot ha'nashim choel v'chayav min ha-Torah kamotam. And he quotes the Beit Yosef that women can be motzei a man. And you know, this particularly go back 1,000 years, go back 500 years, how many learned women were there? The world then functioned within the concept Kolam Alam made it b'tol Torah kilu linda tiflut. And you know what you're talking about. You're talking about women who got married at 12, had children at 14. No one lived past 30, 40. They never learned. That's looking to Rashi. All right? And even at that time, if there was a woman who was learned, could make kiddush, let's say a man walked in who was on a maritz, a man walked in who was sick, ill, a man walked in who couldn't drink wine, a woman could be motzi him. And very fascinating. And then he goes on and he raises the problem. This becomes absurd. It means the whole system of the way we run our house, the way we run our Bayit Yehudi, the whole gestalt that we want to present, we're going to tell the women to make kiddush and the man will be passive? What are we doing here? She just lit the candles, and because you're a Talmud Chacham and a Lamdan, you're going to take away the kiddush from the man? And here the Aruch HaShulchan says so beautifully, he says, no, there's a big difference. He says, where we have this concept that one has a chiyuv, one doesn't have a chiyuv, it's, for the sake of argument, you're about to eat an apple. Can someone else make the bracha for you? Of course not. You're the one that's going to eat the apple. You're the one that's going to have the hanah. Kiddush is not a birchat hanehenin. The kosher bracha is the least part of kiddush. It's a din derabbanan to say the kiddush d'oraita over the kos shel bracha. But when it comes to the real part of bracha, that's a birchat hamitzvah. Hashem kiddushonu b'mitzvotav. It's Shabbat. It's a birchat hamitzvah. There, all Jews are ravim zelazeh, and anyone can make the bracha and be motzi the other one. There's no difference already. Even if you davened, but your wife hasn't heard kiddush, she was not yotzei the din d'oraita, you can make kiddush for her. Lachatechila. You are the man of the house. This is your task. Be motzi everything, everyone. And Lamaha David Domer, someone knocks on your door. It's the famous story with, I knew this lady, the Chafetz Chaim's daughter from his second wife, Reb Mendel Zaks's wife. She was widowed in Yerushalayim, Reb Mendel Zaks. How many of you have heard the name? Reb Mendel Zaks was the Bochein in Yeshivas for Kochanan. It was Reb Shmuel Belkin's Rebbe in Radin. Read Washington, how a young guy almost didn't make the yeshiva because Reb Mendel Zaks says, Zaga Bissel Rasi. And that poor kid from the Bronx, Arnie, didn't know what Rasi, was meant in Rasi, all right. Reb Mendel Zaks. So when he died here. I went to see him here. I went to visit him. I remember he looked. Ich kenne euch. He says, I know you. Where is? I said, Rebbe, you were my bochen from 51 on. Then you used to give bechina to my classes in the yeshiva. So, then he recalled Rothkopf. Okay. So she didn't like to make Kiddush. I'm pretty certain, 100%, that Reb Mendel Zaks's widow knew how to make Kiddush, Rafi, you follow? But she wanted a man to make Kiddush. So yeshiva boy used to come in, make Kiddush for her. And that's the halacha. You can have made Kiddush once. Someone knocks on your door, a widow, please mach for me Kiddush. You make Kiddush again. You make Kiddush a third time, a fourth time. It's a birchat mitzvah. It doesn't have to be measured. I was yotzei already. Kolzman, there's another Jew who didn't hear Kiddush. We're part of Kahal Yisrael. I have an obligation as well. And Steve, that's the famous story that everyone talks about. You follow? It shook up Yerushalayim. Shook up the world, unless you're abnormal. That the, you know what happened? That the kid, this schnip, yeshiva bacha, he looks at the Kiddush cup, and he says, Rebbitzin, das hat nicht das Schier, it's not big enough. And she looks at him and says, this is the Kiddush cup that the Chafetz Chaim used. That's the famous story from the Kiddush that they used to make for her Friday night. So this is the Yorach HaShulchan. Ach lefi zeh lo matzani yodeinu v'ragleinu b'chol ha-mishpachot shel ha-bay la-bayit mekadeshu motzei ishtov v'notatov v'kalatov af al-pi shelo hipalalu. You see, he sensed this problem. If we're going to go with lamdis, then you can eradicate the whole traditional family structure as we have it from the Rei Dorot. And I was in the homes of why you graduates reads Mismachim, but part of what ultimately becomes Chovevei Torah. And I was shocked. Friday night, it works as follows. The woman makes the Kiddush and the man says Hamotzi. Shabbos morning, he makes the Kiddush and the woman says the motzi. But like they take turns. It is something, all right. You can't say it's wrong. You can't say it's us. You can't say they're not yotzei. But I'll pee my feelings as a Jew, a man, a father, a husband, a grandfather, a great-grandfather. The man has his role, the woman has her role. Which is more important? No, they're equally important. And look what we're up against today. I say this in parentheses, but you know, start to understand the challenges we're up against. In Ganim in Tel Aviv, they have the Shabbat ceremony on Friday. 1 week a girl says Kiddush, 1 week a man says Kiddush, 1 week it's two women or two men. These are families too, according to the modern world of idol worship. One woman makes Kiddush, one woman says the bracha. God have mercy, what we're inculcating our youth with. So I give the Aruch HaShulchan credit. 100 years ago plus, he sensed something that would become very real in the modern world of Chilul Shabbos and idol worship. Okay. Pardon me for my strong viewpoints, but I think Mori Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik wouldn't disagree with me, Reb Moshe wouldn't disagree, Reb Aaron Cutler wouldn't disagree with me, Reb Aaron Lichtenstein wouldn't disagree with me. Would Reb Aaron Lichtenstein and tell you a beautiful story, which is well known in the Gush, but a Talmud came to Rebbe You know, my wife loves to go to Shul Shabbos here, Kriya Hastaira, be part of the Kehillah. We have little children now. What does the Rub think if 1 week I go to Shul and she stays home, and the next week I daven be yechidit, stay home and she goes to Shul? This was the question that Baran asked God. So you know what he answered? It's not a question for a rabbi from my generation. Ask one of your contemporaries. My generation, there's no shaila. You're obligated to daven, you're obligated to be with a minyan, you're obligated to hear Kriyat HaTorah. But he didn't want to, you know, put the kid down. He said, that question you have to ask a rabbi from your generation. I think this appears in the book where Rav Chaim Sabato interviews Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. Okay, let me go one step further. And here we come to what's going to turn us into a very fascinating question. I'm quoting from the Aruch HaShulchan, Siman Ayin Reish Bet. You know how we say Ayin Reish Bet? Arov. Oh no, that's correct. Ayin Reish Bet. No. Reish Ayin Arov. What should it really be? Reish Ayin Bet. But Minig Yisrael, what does Reish Ayin Bet read? Ra'av. He's hungry. We never use a cuss word if we can avoid it, a bad word, a negative word. Is it Masechet Malkat or Masechet Makat? Okay? You understand? They're always trying to improvise to make it sound better. There are more examples like that. Shnat Tirchatz. In other words, 1938, 39, it's a year after I was born, it's Tirchatz. It should be Tirzach. Take a look what Hitler began in 1938, 39. Tirzach. We should have said Tirzach and knew what we were getting into. Tirchatz, a much more beautiful word, to wash yourself, to immerse yourself in a mikvah. So, I'm quoting from Simon Aleph, Nerech HaShulchan. Amrinun v'baba batra ein omrim kiddush hayom ela biyayin Shera'ui l'naseich al gabei hamizbeach. And the Gemara talks there, when you use wine, the better the wine. It has to be on a level that you would use it in the Beis HaMikdash. And he goes on to give details that yes, there are types of wine that you wouldn't use in the Beis HaMikdash, but b'di'eved, we do use it for Kiddush. And examples of wine, if you use wine before, you just pressed it out, you didn't let it stand. You look into this edition of Derech HaShulchan, it's the new edition, and at the bottom they quote the Mishnah Brura, that wine doesn't become good until it stands for 40 days. So that if you are bringing Yayin in the Beis HaMikdash, it has to be good wine. For Kiddush, lachatchila, you want good, strong, powerful wine. B'di'eved, you can use even wine that wasn't used in the Beis HaMikdash, but that would be a b'di'eved. Okay, so what do we see here? The Chazal, the Rebbe always used to say this, Chazal had a beautiful concept of establishing a ceremony. We lack that today. I'll end off and I'll tell you what I mean. We lack it today. But what does it mean, a ceremony? Kiddush has to be said over a kosher yayin. Kiddush is the oraita, according to the Rambam. The kosher yayin is midivrei sofrim. There are many pshatim you'll see in Gemara followed through Rishayim. Why do we need a kosher yayin? Because a kosher bracha gives it chashivot, makes it stand out. Let me use the word, I think that's the best word to use, it makes it stand out. You'll also find the word is used, lehitorea, it makes you wake up. It's not just sometimes you're davening and who knows, you can fall asleep in the middle of davening. I tell the story, my first Rebbe in the Shiva, Rebbe Michal Katz, so he had a kid, stood a long Shmon Esrei. So when the kid was finished, Rabbi Michal Katz said to this kid, he knew the kid well, he said, Shalom Aleichem. So the kid says, Rebbe, what do you give me Shalom Aleichem? I just was in the room standing Shmoneh Esrei of Mincha. And Rebbe had said, during your Mincha, you were thinking about here and there and traveling and the Yankees. Your mind was going back and forth. I'm welcoming you back to the class now. Shalom Aleichem. So you daven, oh, but kiddush, you want everyone to wake up and listen and to be yotzei. And that's a kosher yayin. It stands out. It's chashivut. It's important. So, this is the first halacha that when it comes to kiddush, you need a kos shel yayin. It has to stand out. Lachatchila, yayin that you can use for nisach hayayin in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, this was Chazal. The ceremony. Beautiful. Where do we lack today? Look at Purim. Look at Hanukkah. Look how Chazal developed unique mitzvot, unique observances that give us Kedushat HaYom, that give us the feeling of the Yom, the Ma'ora, the where it's different. You know where we lack? Yom Atzmut. Yom Atzmut. What do we do? What do we have? How do we celebrate? How do we express our thanks? Take a look at the siddur we daven from, L'chad Dodi. 5-6 refrains from L'chad Dodi. How does L'chad Dodi fit into Yom Atzmut? Take a look in my shul, Shabbat for Yom Atzmut morning, they say the Zmirat Arichot, like you say, Psukei de Zimra, on Shabbos morning, Yom Tov morning. What does that have to do with Yom Atzmut? I've told you 1,000 times. Psukei de Zimra, the long one, has to do with Issa Malacha. When there's no Issa Malacha, you might as well read Chinese slogans instead of davening, and I can't get anywhere with the same Mamdanim who say the Birchat HaHalel with the Chazan. When it comes to Yom Atzmut, it's like you're not a big Zionist if you don't say the long Psukei de Zimra. We lack. Then you have Tkiyat HaShofar. What does Tkiyat HaShofar have to do with Yom Atzmut? Alright, there I find at least you can read the Pasuk, U'b'shofar gadol u'b'ayom ohi teka b'shofar gadol b'omu ha'b'din b'eretz ha'shur v'nitachim eretz ha'tzrayim v'shtachavul ha'shem b'har kodesh Yerushalayim, etc. There may be the shofar we can find the remez for. But we lack. I'm not saying not to daven. What can we do? This is the davening. This is what people do. This is what we have. But the Rav got hysterical twice in the yeshiva, once in the 60s and once in the 70s. And once was the Kriyat HaTorah, the Kibbutz Hadati, on a day that there's no Kriyat HaTorah. It doesn't, it's a klinsisnish, it doesn't make sense halachically. Halavai, we had Chazal. Chazal would already institute a Kriyat HaTorah that would be appropriate, that it would have to follow the format of Tisha B'Av. It's the difference, the contrast to Tisha B'Av. Chazal would introduce even a Haftorah, which we do read without Brachat Ochlayom Lamod Banov, etc. Halavai we had Chazal, but that's what we lack. But here with Kiddush, they knew exactly what to do. Koshel bracha, wine, chashivut, lachatchila, decent wine, and this is the Aruch HaShulchan. All right, my dear students, before I deal with the freebies, let me reiterate. First of all, I want to thank everyone for coming today, and I want to thank those that came Thursday night. Was very moving and humbling for me.
And sorry, you did it
Thursday night. No, there were no seats left. There was standing room only. So it's a good thing you weren't there. That's all I can say. Standing room only. Okay. Baruch Hashem. Remember, we had to juggle seats for my son-in-law to sit down. I had some children there, grandchildren. Can I inherit? So we finished out the whole problem of candle lighting early, the psak of the Mishnah Halacha, the psak of Reb Meisha. Reb Moshe's psak, if you contrast it with the Mishnah Lacha, it would be a little different. According to Reb Moshe, it might work out very well that after the men finish davening, the women can light candles then. On the other hand, it's very awkward, because you then have what the Mishnah Lacha said, everyone else is Shabbos Dick, and she's sitting and playing with the oven and with the microwave. All right, interesting. We spoke a lot about the concept of Hadlakat Neirot, what it means, the applications, the hotel. It's a low pashita hotel, because Reb Heschel is right. If they're lighting candles, what does it accomplish? There's light already. They're not adding any light. On the other hand, I hold if you light upstairs and then come down, and you don't want to take away the bracha from the woman. And if we can make Birchat HaTorah and Simchas Torah totally against all of the Mishnah and against the Halacha and have every last one in the world called up to the Torah, and we're not chayshish for brachat levatala, so I think we should honor the women and let it stand that this is their basic mitzvah. Then we gave an introduction to what will occupy our time next week, Bezrat Hashem. What is Kiddush? What is wine? What is Chama Medina? Tell me, can you make Kiddush on whiskey? Can you make Havdalah on whiskey? Can you make Havdalah on tea? Can you make Havdalah on Coca-Cola?
Why not?
Why not? We'll see. Why yes and why not? And what about Kiddush? Kiddush, you're willing to accept Coca-Cola and whiskey?
And
booze, you mean Shabbos morning? And more than that, how do you make Kiddush? You have a little cup and you're making Kiddush. We finish Shalilim. What we do, and let's go back to Friday night. How come some people make Kiddush on bread, not on wine? What do you do if you have no wine? Wow. But it's a very, very fascinating topic, and a topic that lends itself to a very interesting perspective on what the world is about. Bahatzlacha Rabba. Tomorrow, Be'ezrat Hashem, we're meeting at 9:05, and we go into the Rabbinical Council of America, how it began. Very fascinating material, and I hope to reach tomorrow. I'm going to give an example, not of a modern rabbi, but a modern rabbi who's modern Orthodox. I want to show you what we're developing, the ideas. It's very important to understand, because I am reading Maxine Jacobson's doctorate. It's very good, very interesting, very factual, tremendous sources. But she puts the entire stress on modern Orthodoxy. And I think it's more correct to say the modern Orthodox rabbi, because can't exactly.
What the sophomore rabbi said, the modern Orthodox?
when did he say it?
Descendants of Amali.
That's what Rav Hoshech said, Chacham Shalom Kohen. If you wear a kippah, you're a descendant of Amalek. Herbie, don't get too upset. You know,
I'm not upset.
They're our best
Everybody
source.
Has the right to plop.
They're our best source for good Jews, take my word. Alright, this is something I mentioned, AID, Halachic Conception, and here is I believe he was my Talmud, I had a Pupko here, Elchanan Pupko, and he has all the sources here. Very interesting, I learned something that today, because if you go for certain premarital testing, they can tell right away whether you and your husband-to-be, the wife and the man, the husband and wife, whether they're related, whether they're brother and sister. So that solves the whole problem of doing AID in Eretz Yisrael. You have a chayshish for Jews, brother, sister. You don't have to go to Germany anymore. I learned from this. I thank Rabbi Pupko. This is for Yitz. Does anyone want this? This is a copy of Rabban Lichtenstein, what I cited last week, answering all the questions that come his way. Does anyone here read Yiddish? I have a Yiddish reader in class? No, I
don't. Yeah.
You read Yiddish? Do me a favor. Take this and tell me if you can summarize it for me, I'll appreciate it. This is from the 1930s.
Okay.
The Rav was attacked by this Jewish newspaper, and this is a response by one of his balabatim, a very, very important response to the Rav. One second. I don't have his name here. Okay, so let's see what you make out of it.
Jews should conduct tradition from the Beit HaMikdash.
Right, that's right. Because the Rav was criticized for opposing Jews that don't have a mechitza. This is about the big scandal going on in New York, which I don't entirely comprehend. They would, Hatzalah fought the women from getting a license to run a Hatzalah service, and the antis went out, and the friar, the religious woman who's a Supreme Court judge today, lost out. I don't understand why they opposed it, but you can read the article. Here's an interesting story. My life was saved by the tefillin I gave away. And this is about it. If you read it, you'll see with the car crash, God have mercy, what people go through. The unseen danger of technology. This is by Rabbi Aaron Lopiansky, whose book we quoted in class. And alright, he shows you statistics. I don't know, maybe I'm being too much done the katzchut, but you have to teach a child how to discriminate when he opens a computer. But I guess the average kid wants to see Rishut and murder and, I don't know, car races, naked women. To me it's hard to conceive of. I don't know. Maybe I grew up in a different era, maybe we did tzaddikim because we chose to be. I don't know what to say, but it's a very interesting article. Visions and Dreams, the Glasses of a Rav Matala Chernilabala. It's glasses of a Hasidic Rebbe that were passed on and are still around, and all that's associated with the Hasidic Rebbe and the glasses and salvation. You got to be a chassid to appreciate that. Remembering a relentless fighter, Rav Chaim Yehuda Paldi. He was Hungarian, became a Chabadnik, beautiful story of his life, and he was a writer, and the Rebbe encouraged him in what he accomplished. This is on the Kinas HaShluchim banquet. Now, does anyone know, is the banquet in Brooklyn in an armory, or was it someplace in New Jersey? I'm all confused. I read about New Jersey, that they were doing things there, and here's the talk of the great ambassador to Israel, our David Friedman, who was one of the keynote speakers at the big event. If anyone wants Reb Heschel Psachim, it's yours for the taking. If anyone wants to face a memoir of Thursday night, it's yours for the taking. And wow, that picture is already my bar mitzvah picture, but that's the way it works. If anyone wants Reb Mordechai Eliyahu, it's yours for the taking. And anything else left on my desk, be free to help yourself bekavod. Until we meet again in health and happiness, das v'danya. Thank you. Okay, everything is up to grabs.